Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Hall, and thanks for attending my talk about working on DOS in 2021, because we are getting closer to FreeDOS 1.3. And in fact, this presentation is basically a history, a current status, and a future of the FreeDOS operating system. Now, let me introduce myself. My name is Jim Hall, as I said, and I've done a number of things at open source software over the years, but one thing you might know me from is the founder and project coordinator of the FreeDOS project. And let me provide a little bit of background about myself. So a little bit of brief history is I got my start in computing with the original Apple II. Actually, my family had a clone of the Apple II called the Franklin Ace 1000. It was actually a hardware level clone of the Apple II computer. And it was on that computer that my brother and I taught ourselves how to program in the AppleSoft basic programming language. A favorite thing of mine was to, anytime I saw a computer display on television or in movies, and this was the late 70s, I would try to replicate it on the Apple II. I liked to write a lot of games, a lot of simulations. It was kind of a neat thing for me to do, but eventually I kind of wanted to do more. I wanted to do more with basic programming than what I could kind of do on the Apple II. Well, eventually my family upgraded and we replaced the Apple II with the IBM PC. This is the IBM PC 5150 in 1981. And DOS was definitely a different operating system than the Apple II. Apple II had a very simple command line, but DOS was the first thing that I had experienced that allowed you to use the pipe to connect different commands together. And I thought that was kind of a neat thing that DOS could do. You know, the command line is still pretty simple. And in fact, this is a screenshot of the PC DOS 1. And as you can see at the top of the screen, it doesn't even have a CLS command at this point. DOS was very, very simple. It did have a basic environment, basic A, and that's where I did all of my DOS programming. And so I would write programs in basic, again, writing a lot of little games, little simulations, you know, basic, you know, it did the job. Now, as time went on, Microsoft released MS-DOS 5, and that's really where my interest in DOS really started to soar. I'd been a casual DOS user up until that point, but DOS 5 really felt like a complete rewrite. They had done a lot of new stuff in DOS that really added to what DOS could do. And one thing that I liked about DOS 5 was they replaced the old Basic A, which was then replaced by GW Basic, with a new BASIC system called QBASIC. QBASIC, if you don't remember what that was an interpreted version of BASIC. And it was actually a simplified version of Microsoft's QuickBASIC compiler. And so, yeah, you could do a lot of neat stuff in BASIC. And I used QBASIC in my classes. And so if I needed to do some lab analysis in a chemistry class, a physics class, I needed to run some stuff for a math class, I would write a little program on our computer at home in QBASIC just to run some sort of a simulation. Now, actually, around this time, I started to explore other programming languages. And eventually, my brother taught me about the C programming language, and it was C where I started to write my own versions of the DOS command line. So, you know, DOS had a not bad command line, but, you know, I did notice that you could improve it by writing my own commands to maybe replace some DOS commands, maybe to add some new DOS commands that I felt needed to be there. But that was kind of my first experience with DOS was first with QBASIC and then by writing some simple file and command utilities in the C programming language. But of course, I also loved using all of the applications, right? That was the main reason to run DOS. Throughout college, I used this spreadsheet here. This is the As Easy As spreadsheet. This was originally a shareware program. And if you didn't know what shareware was, shareware meant that you could download a program at no cost. And you could try it usually for a limited amount of time, like might be a month, or they might have a certain number of times you can run the program. And then you really were expected to register the program. It typically wasn't very expensive, usually less than $100, which is way better than paying several hundred dollars for a full application like a word processor, or in this case, a spreadsheet. So this is as easy as a shareware spreadsheet, basically